The following audio is from Sand Hills Community Church. More information about Sand Hills Community Church is available at www.sandhillschurch.org.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sand Hills Service Station for perhaps our final Sunday. I am your attendant today, Pastor Jeff, and I am looking forward to speaking with you today. This is a special time for us, and so for members and regular attenders, this is really kind of a neat morning. We're going to gather together, and we're going to make a commitment together. So if you're just visiting with us, this for you, for us, might be an odd Sunday. Now, I was thinking about this. I've thought about how many times we've opened a service by saying, today is going to be an odd Sunday, and I really realized this is going to be a regular Sunday, and it would be odd if it was a more normal feeling Sunday. So this will be a normal, odd service for us today. Today is our commitment time, and I like the idea that the church has come together, and we are partnering with what God is doing in our community. We want to be a part of that. So let me give you the flow of service today. I'm going to bring a message today, and it's going to be a shorter message. Now, I will say, my messages always seem short to me. They don't always to you. In fact, we probably need some sort of sign that, like, when either you're done or you think I should be, that maybe you just start, you know, doing this, and I'll look for the sign and be like, oh, let's wrap up with prayer. So that's, you know, maybe a sign or something. But the way we're going to do this today is we'll have a shorter service, and then after we do the shorter kind of message, we will go into a time of communion, because we realize the only reason we can give at all is because Jesus has given to us. And then after that, we will have a time of commitment. That is, those who are members and regular attenders know that today is the day we're going to turn in our pledge cards for the next 2 years. And you should have those in your hands now. You'll fill those things out, or you've already come with them prepared, and then we are going to come forward to some music at the end, and then we will put them. There's two buckets over here, and there's two buckets over here. We'll come forward, we'll put our cards in there, and then I would say this, don't leave at that point. Don't turn them in and then walk out the doors. Turn them in, then go back to your seats, and then we'll close with a time of corporate worship together. But we need some order here, so I have to give like a logistical thing real quick. When we come to that point in the service, when we're going to give to these, we're going to use these two main aisles as the approach aisles, if you will. So these two groups of people right here will get up from your sections, and you'll come down this middle aisle here, and you'll return to your seats on those aisles out there, okay? And so then this group of people over here, just so we see the visual, you guys will stand up out of your sections, and then you'll come forward here, and then you'll return to your seats that way. It'll just keep it really smooth, because it's already going to be chaotic. This just organizes the chaos a bit, and that will help us. And again, if you're a visitor with us this morning, we're not normally this kind of chaotic. This is kind of a special thing that you've come to this morning. All right, so we've got that. We've got the buckets, and we're going to close with music. Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do, especially because they're so easy to download if you have apps on your device, today we will be in the Old Testament. The Old Testament. We will be back in the book of 1 Chronicles. And so pull out your Bibles, look there, 1 Chronicles. We will be in chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. Today we're going to be reminded that the reason that we can pour out is because God has poured in to us. In fact, all of us would say this, if we're pulling into God's filling station of blessing, when it comes to how we're seeking the Lord, we're saying, Lord, fill her up. I want all you have for me. I want all the blessing you have for me. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're going to pull into God's filling station, see him pour into us, and then we're going to pour back out. As you're turning to 1 Chronicles, let me tell you the context of what you're going to be hitting this morning. We're at the time where God is ready for a house to be built for him. Now, historically, he had the tabernacle. Moses went to build the tabernacle. He asked the people, he said, people, I'm inviting you to give to the Lord's work. He's going to establish for himself a tabernacle, a moving kind of place of residence. And the people gave, and they gave freely. They gave so much, in fact, that Moses stood up, and he's like, okay, whoa, we've got enough. Stop giving, right? First pastor in history ever to do that. Stood before the congregation and said, we've had enough. Stop giving. And so they gave, stopped. And then forward from there, God said, no longer do I want to be in this moving tent kind of thing. It is time to build me a house. And King David comes along, and he's like, ooh, Lord, I want to be the one to build the first temple for you. Let me be the one. And God comes along to David and says, David, I want the temple built, but you will not be the one that builds it. Your son Solomon is going to build this for me. Now, the difference here is that David is still king. He's on the throne. He's ruling, and Solomon is young and inexperienced. And that's the setup for what we're going to encounter today in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29, let's begin in verse 1. And David the king said to all the assembly, okay, so at this point, the people of the nation, many of them have gathered before him, particularly the leaders, those who are in charge of stuff, have gathered before him. He's got a big group before him. David the king said to all the assembly, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the palace will not be for man, but for the Lord God. Now, David's a bit frustrated. He is, because David knows, I could totally do this, Lord. I want to do this. And the Lord says, no, David, I'm not going to have you do that. I'm going to have Solomon do that. And David knows, Solomon can't do this. I have learned how to run a country. I know about taxes. I know about capital works. I know the kind of stuff that needs to be done to run a country. I know about infrastructure. I know about military activity. I know this stuff. Solomon doesn't know this. And God says, no, that's okay. I want to use him anyway. Now, there's a part of that that I have to tell you actually delights me. Because, you know, you can almost picture, if you're in this big assembly and you're Solomon sitting over there and your dad has just stood up in front of everybody and said, my son doesn't really know what he's doing, but we're all going to partner with him and make sure this happens. You know, if you're Solomon, you're like, dang, dad, just hang me out to dry. But here's what I love about this, and I think this is probably the reason God does this. Now, one, of course, is David at this point has already sinned greatly against the Lord. He has. And they've worked through that. So that's a part of what's going on here. But I think another thing might be this. God likes to use those who don't seem to others to have a lot of capacity. Right? That gives me some encouragement. Because if you've ever sitting there thought to yourself, could God ever use me? I mean, I have so little. I mean, just who I am. He knows me, right? I wonder if God could ever use somebody like me to do great things. Well, the answer is absolutely yes. In fact, he likes to use people who feel like they don't have a lot to bring, because when he does, he knows this. You never felt like you had enough to be qualified to do what he's called you to do. And then after he's done it through you, you'll get to the end of that and realize it was never you along the way. It was always him. So when you reach the end of that, the one who gets the glory is not you, it's God. That's, I think, why God wants to use Solomon. David says, he doesn't have much to bring, God. And God says, yeah, I know. That's kind of why I want to use him. Because then when he gets to the end of this, he'll know it was all me that did it. And I'll get the glory. So here we are in the midst of this. Solomon going to be returning glory to the Lord through this big project that God's about to give him. Now, we, hopefully, as a church, delight to invest in the things of God. It's an investment with a 100% return. And we realize, just like David and the leaders realize of Israel, that it's an opportunity to give, because partnership with God is a privilege. Partnering with God is a privilege. Look at verses 2 through 5. So I have provided for the house of my God so far as I was able. The gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood. Besides, great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, colored stones, all sorts of precious stones and marble. Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for overlaying the walls of the house, and for all the work to be done by craftsmen, gold for the things of gold, and silver for the things of silver. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Now, David has just said, he said, listen, guys, you need to know something. Of all of you gathered here, I want you to know, I am giving to this work out of the treasury. Now, the treasury is the taxes that he has collected as king over these people. We've all put in together, taxes have been collected, and now he says, listen, out of the treasury I'm going to give. But you need to know this. I'm not just giving out of the treasury, which is something you guys have already been taxed on. You need to know that I am giving out of my own personal resources. And he lists this all. He's got all these dollar amounts in here, and he talks about he's even giving out of his gold of Ophir. All right, so Ophir is a country where they gathered the finest gold of the known world. And what David says is like, listen, I'm giving something valuable, but not just valuable, supremely valuable. It is the best gold you can give. I'm giving that out of my own personal stash. And here's what's funny. If you were to total up the dollar amounts of what David's contributing from both the treasury and his personal storehouse, it is a ridiculous amount of money that this is worth. I mean, it's like one of those like made-up words. Like if you ask a kid, how much is the biggest amount of money you could ever imagine? And they're like, quintillion, you know? They're just making up words, right? Because they can't get to it. Whatever number that is. Okay, that's this number. That is what David has just contributed, the quintillion, out of the storehouse, out of his own personal stuff. And it's not going to stop there. The people also are going to give a quintillion, right, when it comes to their time to pull in. I mean, here's the thing. People are just pulling out all the stops. This is to build a place for the Lord that will honor the Lord, in which the Lord himself will reside. They're like, I am all in. I will give everything that I can give to this. And they do. They pour it out. And they're delighted to do so. David is delighted to do so. You get to verse 5. Verse 5, he says this. As all these things are contributed, who then will offer willingly? So David really has come before the nation. He says this. Hey, listen, guys, I just want you to know something. This offering to give to the Lord and what the Lord is doing through us, it is not mandatory. It is not obligatory. I'm just asking, would you like to partner with what God is doing? Because God's doing something awesome, and I'm just inviting you to be a part of that. So this is a free will offering. Anybody that wants to, just come on. You get to be a part of this. You get to give to this. So this is the idea. It's a free will offering. He says, but when you give it, you're consecrating yourself today to the Lord. Look at that. That's weird. Consecrating yourself. Consecration is a word that you use for priests. The word we use today is ordination. It comes from the same type of word. The idea is that you take somebody, like when we bring a pastor or a missionary up on stage here and we put our hands on them and we say, we are ordaining them to the ministry. It means we're setting them aside for something special. King David has just said this. Why don't you set yourself apart for something special? Through the giving to the work of the Lord, you are setting yourself apart for something special. You're setting yourself aside. You're consecrating yourself. That's a really cool idea. I love that idea that I'm pulling myself out from among those who don't want to be a part of this. And not only am I dedicating my resources to the Lord, as I do this, Lord, I realize I'm dedicating myself to your work. This is not just something I'm doing. It's something I'm participating in. You're looking at me in this. You see me in this. I am being set apart through this gift to you. That's what's happening with these people here. Go to verses 6 through 8. Then the leaders of fathers' houses made their free will offerings, as did also the leaders of the tribes, the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and the officers over the king's work. They gave for the service of the house of God 5,000 talents, 10,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. It was a quintillion amount of money. And whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly. For with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced. Now, this is really neat. He calls here and it says, then the leaders of the fathers' houses. These are the people that bear personal responsibility in the organization and infrastructure of the kingdom. So like of all the people, these are the people that have a role. And they're like, listen, I have a role in this kingdom. I am personally vested in God's desire for this. I'm in. You call me forward, I'm in. Now, listen, when it comes to what we're doing at Sandhills, that is the daily running of our church, or even the plans that we have for the future with the building of our student center and the expansion of our parking and all the other stuff that we're going to do here, hiring of staff members, changing some things around, I know we're not building a temple, right? This is not, like God doesn't reside here like he did in the temple or the tabernacle, but we're still investing in the things of God, and we're investing in the things of God for this place. And most of the people that come on a Sunday morning have some sort of role in this church. Hundreds of people volunteer every Sunday throughout the course of a month to do all sorts of stuff in this church. It's like this. We have a personal investment in what happens here. And I want us all to give generously to this place where God does something in us and does something in our community and does something in our world. So these leaders gather together. They sacrifice significantly, just as we are investing in the things of the Lord through this body that go out into the world around us. And David has said already, listen, this is not just something I'm doing out of the treasury. I'm a part of this. I'm sacrificing for this. And so this is something I would say to you too. And there's in no way whatsoever I would ever connect myself with a leader like King David. But I would just say this, just so you know, my wife and I, Michelle and I, we've prayed about this too. We want to be a part of what God has for this. And we feel like investing in this church is a great commission investment. And so as we've prayed through this, we too have made a sacrifice to the Lord. We realize that what we give to the Lord. And we are already seeing a return on our investment. A couple of weeks ago, we did a youth service here. The youth got up and they led and they helped take up the offering. And if you're a part of our Sunday evening experience with the youth here, you realize God's doing something awesome. Like, we're already investing in the next generation and we are seeing the fruit of that. Not to mention the fruit of what God has done already in the hearts of us. We're experiencing this. We're investing in something beautiful that God is doing. So the people gather together, they give, they've given out of all of this. And then you get to verse 9 here. Verse 9 is beautiful. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly, for with a whole heart they offered freely to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced greatly. So they're rejoicing because they can give out of the abundance that God has given to them. And they realize this. This is not them giving to the treasury. This is not them giving to David. It is not them giving to Solomon. What it says here is they recognize they're giving freely to the Lord. You know, one thing I would like to encourage us to remember is when we give, we don't give to a church. We're not giving to an organization. We're not giving to pastors or a pastoral staff. We're giving to the Lord. This just happens to be the place that we do that, right? You're not writing checks just to Sandhills. I'm giving this to the Lord. And that's the idea they had. And they rejoiced in that. Because partnership is a privilege, right? They rejoice. I hope that you rejoice in giving. I hope that you don't give to the Lord begrudgingly through Sandhills. I mean, I hope that when the time comes to give to the offering, you're sitting there going, oh, this is out of what God has done for me. I'm excited to do this, right? Because I've written the begrudging checks before, right? So my daughter has recently been accepted to school. To the college she's going to go to. And I almost hesitate to mention the college because I know this is the kind of thing that causes division. But my daughter is going to be a Clemson Tiger, all right? Yeah, so she's committed to Clemson. But this is interesting. This is my first journey doing the college thing. So this is how this works. We get a letter in the mail. You know, congratulations, Callie, you've been accepted to Clemson. Send money now, right? And so We go online and we send our money and a part of it, right? And then they get another, hey, there's an orientation coming up. This is the email address. Orientation is coming up for your daughter. Send money now, right? And and you've got to come up here and you've got to actually stay a couple of days. So you're going to need to find a hotel and send them money now, right? So all this kind of stuff. And then so we're going all this and it's like, give us money for this, give us money for this. And then we're going through all that. And then get to the end, would you like to buy a t-shirt? You should give me the stinking t-shirt. I've already poured out hundreds for this thing, thousands at this point. Like, what do you want from me? It's like, I just hand my wallet to the school. Like, what do you want? Just take everything you need. There, I don't have that much in there. You know, I don't know what we're going to do when we get to that point, but I'm like, oh my goodness, is this how this works? So, like, and so I'm writing the check, and I'm just like, oh goodness, you know, how many more of these are there going to be? I'm sure this is probably the end. But we're doing that for Clemson, and so that's ridiculous. And that's, I give that begrudgingly. Now I want my daughter to have a good education. Clemson's going to be a great school. She's going to have a great experience. It's going to be all that. But it's already painful a little bit. Now, see, I would never want that for the way that you participate with the Lord through the church. I would want it to be this. God, you have given me 100% of everything I have, from the friendships and relationships I have to the spouse, the kids, the parents, the opportunities that surround me, the job. Oh, you've given me all of that. And when I give to you, it's just a little bit. It's just a little bit back. And it's just a way to say thanks. It's a way to say I love you. It's a way to reflect that money doesn't control me. I control it. And I offer it to you, a portion of that to you, because I love you. That's what that's all about. And so that's why when the people give, they rejoice. They rejoice because they gave willingly to the Lord. And then David, when he sees it, David rejoices. And the reason I think David rejoices is because David's like this. I already knew I love the Lord, and that's why I was giving. But when I see the people gather together and they give to the Lord, oh, it brings joy to my heart because I realize now this is something we all love. We all love the Lord and we're all giving to him freely. And so he rejoices as well. Look at verses 10 through 13. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name." So David actually is inspired by the giving of the people, by his own personal giving as well, and it just sends him into worship. And the one thing he realizes is you don't disconnect the idea of offering from worship. It's the very essence of what offering is. It is worship to the Lord, and his heart so full of joy, he begins to reflect all these wonderful attributes to who the Lord is. We talked about this a week ago for those that were here. If we're not careful, we will spend our lives amassing a bunch of stuff that the next generation is largely just going to throw away. Right, and that's dangerous. It is a waste of resources. Now, this last week, I got an email in regard to the upcoming baseball season. So many of you know that the Major League Baseball season begins tomorrow. Okay, I see all the baseball fans here, and I heard you, all of you. There's nobody here that follows baseball. All right, so I'm originally from Kansas City, Missouri. My team is the Kansas City Royals. I love the Kansas City Royals. And I got an email this last week from sportscrate.com. And so here's the deal. Sports Crate sends me this. Now, they've had Crate before. Crate, you could order, you could pay, and you get like science fiction stuff mailed to you every month or whatever. They got all sorts of stuff they do. But now they've got this Sports Crate. So what you could do is for only $40 a month, for the low, low price of $40 a month, you can sign on for your favorite sports team, and they will mail you $40 worth of stuff sports-themed for your team every month. Now, I have to tell you, when I saw that, I thought, that's a worthwhile investment. And so, is that my wife out there? So I was thinking about this, and I'm like, okay, $40 worth of Royals stuff every month. Now, not to mention the fact that it's 40 bucks a month, but let's just say I did this, and let's say I did this for several years. Right? So at the end of several years, monthly mailings from this place of my team, I will have amassed for myself a mountain of crap. That's what it will be. It'll be worthless. That's one of those things that when I die, it'll be all in a closet somewhere, maybe several, and my kids will open that and go, "Dad, why? Why did you do this?" You know, we're just throwing it all away. And then if they hear the math on it, 40 bucks a month, how long did you do this? That's money you could have left to us that we could have done something with, and you blew it, right? So just the idea is this. Let us be good stewards of what God has given to us and invest it wisely. SportsCrate.com. Probably not a wise investment. Probably not. Now, let's be honest. If you live on a budget, and I think everybody should live on a budget, if you live on a budget, there are times when you can buy the stupid stuff. You just can. Because if you've got a budget you're living on, and you know that, you know, I have living expenses, and I have to care for myself, I have medical stuff, I have retirement and investments I'm putting into, and I have all this stuff, and I'm certainly giving to the Lord. Actually, that would have been at the front. And then all this kind of stuff. And I get down to the end, then, whatever this last little part is, that can be the junk. You want to buy some junk. You want to do the Sports Crate thing. You can do that kind of stuff as long as your wife is okay with it. She's not. You can do that kind of stuff. But, you know, for the most part, let us budget well. Let's think through well. Just again, so that we're not amassing a bunch of junk that our kids throw away. Now, you get to verse 14. Verse 14 is this. "But who am I? And what is my people? That we should be able thus to offer willingly. For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you." Now, this is a great picture of humility. This is King David. King David before all the people. He's looking to the Lord, and he's saying, "Lord, who are we really? Who am I really before you? Like, Lord, let's be honest. I'm nobody before you, and you know that. Not only am I nobody before you, the stuff that I'm really giving to you is stuff you gave to me. I mean, I can make a big deal of this. Like, Lord, look what I've given to you. But then the Lord could look at us and go, What are you kidding me? I gave you everything. You're just giving me a little bit back. I did that, right? And David realizes that. It's this, that we don't give to the Lord out of our abundance. We give out of His. It's not look at me and all that I've done. It is look at what you've done. I'm just giving you a bit of that back. And this is King David, the ruler of Israel. Lord, who am I? In fact, he goes on to flesh that out a little bit in verse 15. For we're strangers before you and sojourners, as all of our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. And David realizes, Lord, nothing lasts in this life. We're really just a shadow. It's like the sun passes over the earth, and a shadow is created when it first hits an object. And the shadow is there, and it moves with the moving of the sun. So it has some effect, but when the sun sets, it's just gone. David says, that's life. Life goes so quickly, and then it's just over. Now, in one way, you can look at that and you go, wow, that's a really pessimistic view of life. You know, like, what is life? You know, you live for a little bit, then you're dead, right? Is that what he's saying? No, that's not what he's saying. Not any more than what James was saying. And I love this from James chapter 4. We'll put this up here for you. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. That's life. Now listen, I don't think David was saying life is meaningless, and I'm sure James wasn't saying life is meaningless. So what is it that they're saying? What they're saying is because it's so quickly, like a shadow and like a mist, because life passes so quickly, take it seriously. You've only got a little bit of time here on earth. Invest in the things that matter, in relationships, in walking with the Lord, things that have serious substance. Don't waste your time. That's the call here, right? Because unfortunately, we all pass too quickly. Now, I will say something really interesting about Sand Hills Community Church. I've noticed something. We hardly ever have a death at Sand Hills Community Church. I've been here about 20 years. Hardly anybody ever dies here, which is good news for you. I mean, if I was you, I would commit, right? I mean, and I'd tell your friends too, especially those getting a little old, be like, I got a church you might need to start going to, right? Because people there, they just don't die, right? We're hanging on. Well, that's what we're doing. So I don't know what the Lord's got going on here, some sort of special anointing or what. I don't know. But I do know at some point we're going to begin to pass. I don't know how this works. But anyway, at some point we will. And we just want to make sure that we've lived a life that was a worthy investment, where we realized who our Creator was, and that before we passed, we came to know Him. That is, we came to a point where we asked Jesus for forgiveness of our sins, and we committed to follow Him, and then we devoted ourselves to the study of what God has revealed. And then as we read this, we let the Holy Spirit of God speak to us and transform us inwardly. That's what God's children do. That is what is overwhelming to David, that God of the universe who creates this wonderful truth and gives it to His people has been allowed to submit Himself to Him in such a way that fully He offers Himself and freely so. That's the kind of people that we want to be. And that's what we see here. Let's go forward just a little bit. Verses 16 and 17. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house, for your holy name, comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I've seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. And so David says this. David says, Lord, I know you test us. You test to see who of us are upright. And I just want you to know, Lord, when you look at me and you see this offering I am making to you, it is a sign that my heart is where it needs to be. I'm not doing this for my glory. I'm doing it for yours. I'm not doing it to make myself famous in front of people. I'm doing it to make you famous in front of people. God, I am doing this with purity of heart. Check my offering here and see if this is a reflection of my love for you. I do think there is a way in which God does test us. He checks us out. He checks out our faith. One of the phrases that we've used in here is this: generosity reflects gratitude. And it's true in a number of relationships in your life. It is true also in your walk with the Lord, that generosity reflects gratitude. And that's what David is saying. Lord, when you look, you see, this comes out of a pure heart, as pure as it can be before you. I make this offering to you. When we go to make our offerings later in the service here, here in just a very little time, we're going to do it after a time of communion. Now, I'll tell you why I think that's so important. Because, see, it's communion that reminds us of the sacrifice of our Lord. That Jesus gave everything for us. That he laid down his life for us. So that those who respond in faith could be rescued from what they deserve and could step into an eternity in paradise forever. And we're going to be reminded of that. And when we go to this time and you're handed the cups and you're sitting there and you have time to think through this and to pray through this, I want you to spend some time praying about that. Lord, you gave everything to me. I don't deserve to be forgiven of my sin, and yet you need to know something. I love you, and I am asking you, forgive me for everything. I am your child. And for those who are members and regular attenders, when we go to our time of offering here after this, we go and we're reminded, this is a reflection of my heart for you, Lord. I give because I love you, and you gave everything for me. So we're going to do that here in just a little bit. I do want to remind you of some things. Of course, the one thing was the traffic. We're going to come down the main aisles when you come to make your time of offering. That will be after communion. So after we finish communion, I will come back out on stage, and I will initiate the time of bringing forward the offerings. So you'll know, there'll be no mystery to anybody. You'll know when that's going to come. Also, when you make your offering and you come down, please return to your seats, and then we will have a closing worship song where we'll reflect back to the Lord our love of him. And then also, just for a quick reminder of the projects that we're wanting to tackle with the extension of the student center, the doubling of our size of our parking lot with an extra access towards the back of the property so we can get onto Brickyard Road, which will make three accesses to us, bringing on an additional staff member, and then a lot of stuff that has to be attended to. The building's getting a little bit older. There's some things we have to do. We have some lighting issues in here that are a little costly we need to fix. We have some lobby issues that need to be addressed just from wear and tear. And we have some landscaping that we finally need to do out front. But all these things we feel are legitimately an investment, not just in a building, but in a place where God's doing great things and through which God is impacting the community and the world. That's what we're asking you guys to partner with. Now, there's some clarity needed in a couple of areas. One of those things is this. I've been asked, when I write a check subsequent to this time, and I'm giving to the Fuel campaign, the Fuel Initiative, do I need to write on my check Fuel? Do I need to write two different checks, the check that I would normally give, and then a different check for the Fuel Initiative? No. Now, once you make your pledge, we already know what you've pledged to give. You just write one check, and you don't have to designate it in any kind of way. This is what we're calling a one-fund initiative, just one fund. You don't have to write two separate checks or anything like that. You just give. We'll have on record what you've pledged to give. The reason we need you to pledge, members and regular attenders, the reason we need you to pledge is so we can budget as a church. And so when you pledge to give, we know, can we move forward with a normal budget? Can we do some of these other things? And we want to do these other things on a cash basis. We don't want to take out a loan and just add it to our current loan. The only difference would be, like I said last week, if we get close enough to our goals that we can take out a small loan and it doesn't really affect the payments of the church that month, we would consider doing that. Or, that is, if the pledge has been significant enough, then we might take out a short-term construction loan that we'll just pay off at the end of the 2 years with the cash that we receive from you guys. So this is kind of how we're thinking through some of this. The commitment card can be a little confusing, so you've been handed those. You may have it. If you want to pull it out, we'll put a picture of it up here on stage, so just to talk through it. It would be this. When you look at this card, there's all these boxes on here. The first, because we like to think that we are planned, budgeted givers when it comes to how we give to the church, the first box is this, what I normally give in a year. Now, in our example, let's just imagine somebody makes $50,000 a year, and they want to give a tenth of their income to the Lord. So they write a check for $5,000 normally over the course of the year. That's what they're planning to give. They've asked the Lord to bless them, and perhaps they've even made some decisions. As a family, we're not going to eat out one time a month. I may go without one of my expensive coffees once a week. And as I put that money aside, I can give more, I realize. So my plan is, by the end of the year, to increase by an additional 5% my giving, and that will be an additional $2,500. So my hope then is at the end of a year that I will be able to give the five plus the additional $2,500 I hope to be able to give for a total of $7,500 over the course of the year. If I multiply that times two for the two-year commitment, that gives me $15,000. I also want to make an additional gift to the church. I'm going to do this out of what might be called stored assets. And stored assets are like money you have in your savings account. And so you realize I can part with part of that. It's built up a little bit, so I'll be able to give a part of my savings account or maybe give some stock to the church. And with that additional amount, that's $2,000. So my total pledge over 2 years is going to be $17,000. That's my pledge. And then you're going to write your name on here. Write it. Don't sign it so we can read it. Write it. It'll be turned into just a couple of people that do accounting. I'm not going to see everybody's cards and all that kind of stuff. That way you don't have to, you know, either like, hey, look what I did, or hide your head when we walk by. I'm not going to know what you pledged. I'm just going to assume everybody pledged generously. So that's what we're going to do there. Those are the cards that we'll turn in at the end. You can either take time to fill those out over this next portion of time here, or if you want to just fill it out after the service, turn it in, you can do that as well. I'm going to invite Pastor Lauren to lead us now in the time of communion.
As the elders are coming to help serve communion, I'm just reminded that in a church this size, sometimes we have a tendency to think of the church as they. We come in here and we go, wow, they've got things together. They've got a nice facility. They've got great programs. They've got good music and all this kind of different stuff. And it seems like they're doing pretty well. Why do they need more of my money? And what we need to remember is when it comes to a church, there is no they. If you look around here, we are Sand Hills Community Church. Everything that exists here, everything that takes place here, all the ministry that's going on in the back that goes on during the week and in the evenings with youth up here on Sunday mornings, it's because there's a group of people in this community who are giving of themselves and giving of what they have by the grace of God to lift up the name of Jesus Christ in this community. So it's not they. This is what we are doing as God enables and allows us to do. And I wonder if there's anybody who comes here on a regular basis that hasn't grasped that yet. If so, that's what this Fuel Initiative is all about. It's about inviting you to step across that line and to say, you know what? I want to be a part of the we. Because this is what God's doing here. Jesus was the ultimate example of that. As we look at God's interaction with people throughout the Old Testament, God interacted with them because God was separate from humanity. But the pages of the New Testament open up with God coming down to earth and becoming a part of the human race. And everything that we see about Jesus in the Bible is not Jesus ministering to them, it's Jesus ministering to us. Jesus walking with us, talking with us, eating with us, sharing life with us, and finally giving his life for us. And Jesus inviting us to follow him as we do God's work here on the earth. Pastor Jeff already said it. It is perfectly appropriate that Commitment Sunday is also Communion Sunday. So as we reflect on the gift and the sacrifice that Jesus has already made for us and how much we've benefited from that, let's think about, God, what can I do? What can I give? What can I sacrifice? How can I be a part of what you're doing here? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that everyone in here would receive it in the way that it's intended, not as emotional manipulation, certainly not as a guilt trip or anything else. But Father, rejoicing that we can be a part of what you are doing here in this community. Lord, I pray that we would reflect on and realize the significance of your gift, that we would never forget what you've done for us, and that our gratitude would overflow day in and day out in how we serve you. May your presence be here among us today, Lord God, and may you be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Sand Hills Community Church. Feel free to share this with others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information, please visit our website at www.sandhillschurch.org.